The following podcast is sponsored by Financial Sense Wealth Management. To learn more about our investment services, go to financialsense.com or give us a call at 888-486-3939.
Well, stocks have been in a deep nosedive. How far does this go? Is this a major bear market? And is more damage ahead of us? Let's find out. Joining us from Asbury Research is John Kosar. John, why don't we take it from the top? You have a lot of key indicators. Let's go through those and just give us an update what they're telling you now.
Sure. Our main two that we use for tactical. Tactical to us is where you get in and get out when you enter and exit. Strategic is the move you're trying to catch. So our tactical tools, actually, I just went just a few minutes before you and I got on here together. I went back and listened to the last time I was on the show. It was January the 20th. And our Asbury 6 and our correction protection model, CPM, had just gone to risk off on the 14th. They are still risk off. They're still negative. And the market's dropped 800 points or 17% since then. But they're still negative. So we don't know exactly where the bottom is. I mean, we draw on our support lines and we look at 100 different things here at Asbury Research. But as it sits right now, the tactical part of our analysis is still negative.
And you have your protection model too. So what's that saying?
And that's been risk off also since the 14th or maybe the 15th. Those two are usually side by side with each other. The Asbury 6 is a little bit more transparent, I guess you'd say. It's a little more volatile. That's updated every day. And we built the Asbury 6 because I've been doing this for 40 years, but in my view, the character of the market has really changed just within the past 5 years or so, where if you try to determine what the market is thinking by looking at the S&P, all it's going to do is make you dizzy. You know, we're up about a week ago as a poster child for that. That Thursday, we were up Thursday of last week, exactly 1 week ago, we were up 120 on the day in the S&P. And then Friday, we were down 130 or 140. So we backtested a lot of my favorite tactical tools that I've used throughout my career and when I was on the trading floor. And we found those that work very well at letting you know what the internal condition of the market is. And we found six that work very well together. By very well, I mean, every indicator has its Achilles heel. There's no indicator that works all the time. So we found six that tend to pick each other up. If one or two are off and aren't really giving you a good signal, an accurate signal, the other ones pick it up. That's the Asbury 6. And again, that's been negative since just about a week after we talked in January. And with very, very few exceptions, all six of those are still negative. And we update that every day on our website.
Well, John, I'm looking at the S&P, the major indexes, and about the only thing that's in an uptrend is energy, but just about everything else is breaking through long-term moving averages. So do you see anything outside of energy that's looking attractive here?
You know, I've been turning over rocks here for weeks trying to find something that's doing well. We have another model called the CEIF model. You and I talked about it when we were on in January. CEIF stands for Sector ETF Asset Flows. And that went overweight energy on the 4th of January. It's still overweight energy. And energy outside of maybe 0.2% higher year to date for utilities, energy is the only one that's made any money all year. And our model shows that money keeps flowing into energy. So until it stops doing that, you know, we're going to stay overweight. Since January the 4th, I just had written this down, energy is up 38% outright, and it's actually outperformed the S&P by 66% since January the 4th when the model went overweight. So there's not a lot out there other than that. I'm looking at housing. Housing is giving some early indications that it may be beginning a new relative outperformance trend versus the S&P 500, but that idea hasn't hatched yet. It hasn't performed to the point that I think you should start to put some money there.
Let's talk about something that is in a short-term rally mode here, and that's the 10-year Treasury. We got to 3%. It's been rallying recently as the market has gone through stress. What's your take on interest rates here?
It's been a really interesting one. The yield of the 10-year actually broke out from 170. It had been going sideways for about a year or so, and it broke out higher from 170 at the beginning of January, actually just about a week before you and I talked last. And that gave us a target of 225. So it got to 225, it stalled there. 225 is actually a downtrend line in the yield of the 10-year that originates in the year 2000. So we kind of stutter-stepped around that 225 area for a while. And then the next level on the chart was 320, 330. And we stopped at 325 a couple of weeks ago, just about a week ago, actually. And we've come off of that. I did not think that 325 area was going to be broken on the first shot. It's too long. It's too strong of a level. It's been around for years. So it looks to me that we're likely to get a move back down to 265 and possibly all the way back down to 230. The way the 10-year moves, it tends to stay in one place for a long time, and then it has these very sharp, aggressive moves. So to me, 330, if we get through 330 on the top side, that could really open up the door for much higher rates. I think the 120-year monthly average on the yield of the 10-year is about, if my memory serves, 440, about 4.45 or 4.5%. in terms of yield. But for now, I think 330 held. And again, the first level is 265. And I think 230 is viable. If we can get back down to 230, that might be a place to look to sell the long bond again, because that's going to be a formidable level that I think is likely to hold yields. If we do get down there, that might be a place to do some business.
You know, John, as I look at these Fed rate hikes, the market's pricing in basically 50 basis point hikes at each Fed meeting. We just had our first in May, which is probably the largest increase we've seen in decades coming from the Fed in one meeting. It's expected June they'll raise 50 basis points, another 50 in July, and another 50 in September. I see it really hard to find that we're not going to be in a recession as we get into the fall. You're seeing housing rollover. Some of the unemployment claims are starting to rise. What's your take in terms of the idea that maybe by fall, the Fed's going to be forced to pivot if we're in a deep recession?
I try not to get too far over my skis. It's very difficult. It certainly is for me to try to handicap all of these unknown things that we don't have a lot of control over, like what the Fed's going to do, or a short time ago is what's going to happen with COVID. What's COVID going to do with the economy, or how is the situation in Ukraine going to affect food production over the next 6 to 12 months? There's so many moving pieces there, so many moving pieces of unknowns. It's virtually impossible to put that all together into some kind of a cogent forecast as to what's going to happen 3, 6, 9 months down the road. So what we do here at my shop is we just follow the data. Really simply stated, we're following the money that's moving around the board. And you know, the story often comes after that. So the story so far this year has been higher volatility, underperformance, relative underperformance by all the places in the market that usually lead, like semiconductors and small cap and both of the NASDAQs. You're getting outperformance. We have been overweight steel earlier in the year. Soybeans, the last time that you and I talked, soybeans was a place that we had put some money to work in soybeans because we saw the market was going lower here and we were looking for some of the commodity space to give us an opportunity to make some money while the S&P 500 was in a downtrend. It looked like an emerging downtrend back then. Soybeans has very quietly outperformed the S&P by 34% since the beginning of the year. So what we do rather than try to forecast all these moving pieces in the economy is we look at a broad swath of ETFs that cover equities, overseas equities. We talked about Peru and Mexico the last time that you and I spoke. They've both outperformed by about 15 or 16% versus the S&P. So we watch all these relationships and we watch the asset flows that are moving around between all these assets, and we follow them rather than try to figure out what the economic story is going to be.
So given this and given where we are right now, if we were to hit, John, a bottom in the market, because, you know, you get those washout days, capitulation days, breakdown of the leading indexes, what are key things you would be looking for to tell you that it's safe to start dipping your toe back into the market?
Fantastic question, actually. Just before I came on today with you, I was going through charts just to see what's really current and what's relevant right now. And I think what's relevant right here is you've got five or six really important individual stocks or important indexes that are sitting on some really important support levels, formidable levels that, you know, maybe go back a year or two. And you're seeing that in Apple, you're seeing it in Amazon, you're seeing it in HGX, which is a housing index that I had mentioned a little bit ago. You're seeing it in the SOX and in the Russell 2000. So the SOX is often a leader during a bull market. You know, the Russell is often a leader. Apple clearly is a leader. So if we can hold these support levels in here over the next week or two, you have very bearish sentiment, which is also bullish. You know, it's kind of a inverse indicator in the sense that when everybody is really bearish, and just look at the last Investors Intelligence data, it's very negative. We're at a place where you might see a top form. Some of the options volume data is very negative. So if these support levels in these places hold that I just mentioned, I would be watching the VIX really closely, because the market has a hard time calming down to the point where it could start to move higher when the VIX is over 24. 24 is the number that we really look at here at Asbury. So if you see Apple, Amazon, housing, small cap, and semiconductors hold up in here over the next week or two, and you start to see the VIX come back down under 24 and stay there, I don't know if that's going to be the bottom, but that would certainly look like a tradable bottom to me.
So given that, and is there any time dimension when you look at these kind of things? You know, we have these seasonalities that we see in the market. Typically, you know, the old saying, sell in May, go away, come back after Labor Day. And then we usually have that strong finish at the end of the year with a little bit of turbulence in September and October. Any seasonalities that you think could play in here?
Well, the seasonality is negative right now. I look at seasonality as kind of a tertiary indicator. I look at it like if the market's a bicycle and you're on your bicycle, I look at it as which way the wind's headed. If you're riding your bike, you know, and the bike is the trend of the market and the wind is in your face, seasonality is in your face. Seasonality is going the other way. I think it could temper the move down. In the second quarter, the last 3 weeks of this month of May and the last 3 weeks of June are the sixth weakest weeks of the entire second quarter seasonally, based on data going back to 1957. And September is, like you said, the sell in May and go away. That's seasonally the weakest month of the year. The first part of October is usually a little dicey, and then things get stronger as, you know, the market strengthens into the end of the year and the first part of January. So yeah, the seasonality is not doing us any favors right here for sure.
So if I was to sum up right now, John, you would say, you know, you're still in that protection mode and you haven't got an all clear to go in or even take partial positions right now.
That's pretty much it. I mean, where we've been, again, we've been overweight energy because of our CEF model, and that's really done well for us. I've been in and out of soybeans, and I've been looking overseas, Peru and Mexico. There's a couple more. I don't remember what they are off the top of my head, but we've been investing. When I see that, The U.S. market is down. You know, we're in a downtrend. Simply, the S&P is underneath its 200-day moving average. Our tactical models, you know, the correction protection model and the Asbury 6 have been risk off since January. I start looking overseas for places that I could use as alternative investments. Our U.S. versus the world model tracks 24 different foreign markets versus the S&P 500. And last week, we update this once a week. So through last week, 11 of those 24 were outperforming the U.S. on a monthly and also on a quarterly basis. So we've been putting some money overseas to try to at least capture some relative outperformance while the S&P 500 is on the ropes like it is now.
Well, listen, John, as we close, if our listeners would like to follow Asbury, because you really get some in-depth research, how could they do so?
The best thing to do is to visit the website. It's asburyresearch.com, and we'll send you some sample research. It all comes in one email. Some information about our models, how our models work, how they've performed over the past decade. We've got some informational videos. We'll send you links to those about different aspects of what we do for our clients. And we always have a Memorial Day sale. We offer 10% off of our 3 and 12 month subscriptions. That starts tomorrow, Friday, and it'll run through Monday, Memorial Day, which is the 30th this year. So yeah, there's some stuff going on there, but feel free to contact us. You could use the contact tab on the website and say you listen to us on Financial Sense, and we'll send you some info, and we'd be happy to talk with you.
All right, John. Well, listen, as always, pleasure having you on the program. Stay well and come back again.
Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.